Perpetuo argenso lacti ipsum. Via nu corpus duex.
He raised his left hand and gestured sharply. Night fell. There was no light, and the darkness was everywhere. Jordan discovered he couldn't hear or feel anything either, and fought down a brief surge of panic. He clenched his hands into fists, but he couldn't feel the chair arms they rested on, or even the pressure of the fingers against each other. The darkness swirled about him in a slow, steady rhythm, and his panic slowly ebbed away. There was nothing disturbing about the dark. In fact, it was almost restful, like lying in bed at night with your eyes closed. He waited patiently. Something came into the darkness with him, and without knowing how or why, he knew it was Victor. They drifted closer to each other, and then their minds touched.
You stole her from me! She was mine, and you stole her!
I'll give you one chance to take that back, or I'll kill you while you stand.
Of course, Your Excellency. I will go of my own accord. But I will return.
Go away.
What's keeping you? There should be nothing more important than what I need.
The garden was full of flowers. Their rich and heady scent filled the air now that the rain had finally stopped. He picked a rose, and the thorn pricked his thumb. The drop of blood it drew was the same color as the rose. He rode across the empty moor as twilight fell, his horse plunging beneath him, a good length and more in front of his nearest rival. The cold wind blew tears from his eyes. Thick, smoky air diffused the lantern light into a dim amber glow in the back alley tavern. He knew he shouldn't be there on his own, in the worst part of Kahalimar, but he didn't care. He had his hands around Dominic's throat, and he was crying as he tried to murder his brother. Elizabeth watched them struggle, and there was nothing in her face but an endless, weary contempt. Past and present rolled into a single kaleidoscopic mosaic that battered at Jordan's mind in overwhelming detail. He swayed and shuddered under the assault, but still clung stubbornly to his own sense of identity. Years of pretending to be people other than himself had given his mind a strength and resilience beyond the norm, and even as Victor's memories strove to convert him into a duplicate of themselves, Jordan was already fighting back. He had to. His mind, his soul, everything that made him unique was in danger of being supplanted by the other man's memories. He clung fiercely to what was his, and slowly, gradually, the pressure faded. He began to pick and choose among the endless stream of information that flowed to him from Victor, taking only what he needed. How to move, how to talk, how to seem like Victor without actually being him. And still the memories came and went. Jordan moved among them at his leisure, searching for anything that looked useful or interesting. He came across something strange, and Victor tried to pull back, to hide the memory from him. Jordan took control easily and looked closely at what Victor hadn't wanted him to see. Victor lay on his back in bed with Heather snuggled up against him. He stared up at the ceiling, his eyes idly following a long, wavering crack in the plaster.
Victor?
Yes?
Do you really think there's going to be a civil war?
Bound to be. Too many factions and none of them willing to compromise. Best way in the long run. I wouldn't feel safe as long as my brothers or the Regent were still alive.
I can see that, Victor. But if there is a civil war, thousands of people could die.
Probably. It doesn't matter. They're only peasants, after all. Breed like rabbits. Don't go all squeamish on me now, Heather. I'm going to need your strength. I learned my lesson during those long years in exile. Look out for yourself first, and everyone else second, if at all. I don't give a damn for the peasants or the courtiers or anyone else in this stinking country. None of them lifted a finger to help me when I needed help. To hell with them all!
Jordan recoiled in horror. He thought he was prepared for almost anything, but the depth of contempt that Victor had for his subjects shocked Jordan profoundly. The prince used that moment to pull free.
Victor, wait!
Give him some water! Now!
Roderick, if he's hurt!
Get him water, Heather.
Jordan's eyes ached, and he knuckled them as best he could with his shaking hands. Already much of what he'd learned was slipping away below the conscious level, but he clung grimly to what was important. He looked coldly at Prince Victor, sitting slumped in his chair. He didn't know why he'd been so shocked at what he'd found in Victor's mind. There was no law that said a king had to love his people, and compared to his brothers, Victor was almost a saint. Perhaps it was just that Jordan was disappointed in Victor. He'd hoped for better in the man he was to portray.
I was right. I am playing a villain.
Actor! Drink this, it'll help.
What is it?
Brandy.
Oh, thank you.
Robert, help me carry Victor.
All right. Here.
That's good. Now on three.
Wait!
What?
He needs a drink. Here you are. Just drink up, Victor. It's all right. I'm here. There you are. Just have a sip. Good boy. We're going to take you back to your bed now.
Now lift, Robert.
Roderick and Argent half led, half carried Victor out of the room. The prince's face was slack and dazed. Roderick and Argent paused just long enough for Heather to pull Victor's cowl forward so that it hid his face. Then they hustled the prince out into the corridor. Heather hurried after them. Jordan was left alone in the room with Sir Gawain. He held out his empty glass.
Don't stop there, Gawain. Thanks. And have some for yourself. How's Victor?
He'll recover. You're looking better, sire.
I've felt worse. I take it no one expected this strong a reaction to the spell.
Right. Sometimes I think Roderick doesn't know half as much about sorcery as he claims. If I'd known the spell would be this dangerous to the prince, I'd never have allowed him to use it. Still, it's done now. Did you learn anything useful?
Yes, I learned a few things.
Gawain waited a moment until it became clear the actor wasn't going to say any more. He looked thoughtfully at Jordan.
Seeing as you're well on the road to recovery, sire, I'd better go and see how Victor's doing. If I were you, I'd get some sleep. Tomorrow's liable to be a very busy day. You'll be quite safe here. This suite is protected by strong magical wards. And the two guards outside will keep anyone from disturbing your rest.
Before you go, perhaps you'd answer a question for me.
If I can, sire.
Why hasn't Roderick put a geas on me like he did de Grange? That way he could be sure of controlling me.
I'm sure the idea occurred to him, sire, but a geas would have been far too conspicuous. Any number of people here would have recognized it for what it was. Is there anything else, sire, before I go?
Oh, yeah. What about the dog?
What dog, sire?
Victor's dog. The one he keeps in his bedroom. What am I supposed to feed it on?
I think you must be mistaken. Victor doesn't have a dog. He can't stand the creatures.
Well, look for yourself. It's right there in the bedroom.
Is that so? There's no dog there now, Your Highness. Perhaps a stray got in here somehow. There are enough of them around the castle. They help keep the rats down. I shouldn't worry about it. Good night, Your Highness. Pleasant dreams.
He bowed formally and left.
No dog.